Today's sermon text is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Today's subject, from boys to men. When we grow up, we expect things to change in our lives. The question is, what does it feel like to grow up as a Christian man? Is there a difference between how I feel and what I do? How do I know if I have come to the point of being a man? Is there a transition from being a boy to a man? Is it important in the society that we live in today? Are there signs that will direct me to these kinds of truths? Can I really know that I have made it through the passage? What if I did not have a father to guide me? Is my mom sufficient in raising me as a male in the Christian community? Do I really need another man in my life? Hello, this is Mark Ramsey. Continue along with me as I listen to Pastor John share an important message concerning the transition from boy to man. Listen closely as Pastor shares illustrations of how this process takes place in the lives of men today. Allow the Word of God to open your eyes as Jesus Himself walks us through our difficult journey to break certain chains that have disabled our growth potential. Allow the Spirit of God to change our behavior as we change the way we think as Christian men. Ladies, this message is just as important to you. Many of you live with men, have lived with men, and are in the process of raising boys that will become men. Listen, this message is indeed for you also. A special note, Pastor John is aware that facing these difficult issues are not comfortable. Answer this question, are you satisfied with your life as a man? Are you satisfied with your man? Do you really know the difference between a boy and a man? I'm excited and ready to listen and learn. Join me. Open your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
From boys to men. How many of you are men? Raise your hand. Okay, put them down. How many of you know you men? Raise your hand. All right, put them down. All right. How many of you have doubts about whether you are truly a man? Raise your hand. Now, you may think that I'm talking about the masculine gender as opposed to the feminine gender. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what makes you a man in the society that you live in. There's a man. His name is Ken Druck. And in the introduction, he writes about men, and he says, and I'm quoting, "I see men walking around in midlife with a sense of yearning for things they can't get from their wives, and they can't get from their jobs, and they can't pull from inside themselves." He goes on and he says, and I'm convinced that what men are missing is a sense of their own identity, a very primitive and very deep sense of validation that passes from father to son. Now I'm going to ask you something else. How many of you men have had a vital relationship with your fathers? Raise your hand. Fewer hands. Good, good, good. Okay. How many of you would long to have a vital relationship with a man? Raise your hand. That's a little bit better, a little bit better. Some of the men's hands came up slow. All right, fine. See, now we're dealing with the tension, because what it means to be a man to you is one thing, but what it means to be a man in the Bible is another thing. And now do you see why our families are not strengthened? From boys to men, we've got to make the quantum leap today. Men today feel confused and incomplete. I want you to know that Christian men also feel confused and incomplete. Men today are afraid to allow others to see below the surface of their lives. Christian men are too. Some of you wives have married to husbands that has had the facade, the front up for years. And that's why they can't get any better, because they are not growing. Men are also in dread fear to uncover by becoming a man, because you see, if they uncover why becoming a man is so difficult in their lives, Then people will know that they are inadequate, weak. So that's why when we talk about from growing from boys to men, it is a process. For those of you that are teenage boys, you're going to love this sermon. And I am going to use Bible to prove my point to you older men. But I would ask that you men would listen to your pastor today. The big idea. I guess the central question remains unanswered to men, even in Christianity. How does a boy become a man? That's what we're going to be addressing. How does a boy become a man? I want all you men to say that. Let's say it. How does a boy become a man? You see, you've got to ask yourself that very same question. In our society today, boys to men, when they have sex with as many women as they can. Boys to men, when they can outshoot, outdraw, or outwhip anybody in their company. Boys to men, if they are the smartest, freakiest, coolest dude on the block. Not necessarily being a man. That's being, if I were a woman, a dog. Amen, brother? Amen, amen sister? Amen. All right. How does a boy become a man? Does the journey through puberty make a boy a man? Men, you would say? No. The journey through puberty doesn't make you a man. There again, we as Christians need to own up to the fact that some of us ladies have married some of us men, and we think that because we married him and he's out of the pubic stage that he's a man. It ain't necessarily so. Not at all. So puberty doesn't make you a man. Let me give you another quote. This is by a columnist. His name is Bob Haltom. He says, frankly, I'm concerned about the future of my gender. He said, let's face it. These are tough times for guys. The problem is that these days, we men aren't quite sure what it means to be a man, quote, unquote. Now, if a national columnist would say this, and most of the people that are leading in our society today would say this, you would have to agree with me that even in the Christian church, many men do not know what it means to be a man. And so therefore, we have the difficulty in our lives by adjusting to a life when God says that a man is a certain kind of a peculiar kind of individual. And that's all right, sister, you can bring them right up here to the choir stand. Right up here. Fine. Just fine. Because, see, we're running out of room here at the vet, and that's the way we love it. So just follow our usher. God bless you. You're not disturbing Pastor John nor the members. Just take a seat. I would prefer if you come all the way down to the end so that when we fill up, we can fill up that section. Thank you. And that's all right. I would also ask this. Could it be argued today that our definition of what a man is to be or has become has primarily come from women? What would you women say? Today in this society, women define what a man is and what a man should do. You have women leading in our school system. You have women teaching our young males. You have women leading in government. You know it's true. You have women leading, and now women are defining what a man is to a man. Now, to me, that causes a tremendous difficulty because women are not men. They are completely different from men. They could never be a man. Therefore, they cannot define what it is to be a man. But we have men in our culture today who are following women who are trying to define what a man should be. And then when a weak man marries a strong woman, this very same strong woman defines to that man what he's supposed to be doing around the house and how he's supposed to be living life, and the man is left in a quandary, and he doesn't know how it is to be a man. So therefore, we have to progress from being a boy to a man. Very important. Our theme scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul is speaking about spiritual maturity, and I believe that we as Christian men that are very spiritually mature are inadequate as men in our society and in our homes, and you can know all the Bible inside, outside, upside, downside, but if you do not know what it means to be a man, you are going to lose your faith in a community that needs to see a man. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. I mean, because we just need to see some men walking around now. That's what it takes. Now, if this is true from what I just said, because we observe what a man is from looking at television, reading magazines, listening to the female commentators on television, listening to the alt-reds of this world, coming on their radio programs talking about what a man should do and what the problem with the man is. Don't ever listen to a woman that's going to tell you about a problem with the man, especially if she doesn't have a what?
Amen.
Thank you, because she can't talk.
Amen.
She doesn't have a man, so how can she become an expert on what a man should be like? And if she had one and drove him off, that's why she's all tense. Because she never knew what to do with one when she had one. Amen. So I don't listen to those people in the media. So if this is true, our masculine images have been replaced by feminized images in the society that we live in. Somebody needs to say amen.
Amen.
They have been replaced with feminized images, and that's the problem with men in our world today. Now, how can we know this to be true? How can we know this to be true? Some desire men that are nice to be around. You know, those acceptable individuals. I don't want to be around a man that's going to say no. I don't want to be around a man that's going to make me think. I don't want to be around a man that's going to challenge me. I don't want to be around a man that's not going to accept what I say. Another deal is those kind of men that are fun-loving, always so corresponding and so relative to everything. Oh, yes, dear, I understand. I understand how you are. I understand the way I must be. I understand that I could be wrong. I understand, though I'm not sure about anything. There's a possibility that you're right and I'm completely wrong. I'm just not sure of my humanity as a man. Some folk love that kind of a creature. I would say that we desire these men to be lovable and sensitive and kind and soft in every way that they can. Oh, invite him to the party. He's so soft. He's so kind. He'll do whatever you ask him to do. He won't question anything. He's the world's kind of a man. Every woman would love to have him around. He's so handsome, so good to look at. And if you ever did anything wrong, he'd never tell you because he doesn't want to mess up anything. He's my kind of a man. That is a feminized man. That is a man that the world controls. That is a man that no real woman wants. Women, you ought to say what? Thank you. You shouldn't want no man like that. No, no. They want this kind of a man to make us feel safe and giddy. He's a kind of a non-male politically, religiously, and he is so much of that correct kind of individual. I'm telling you, he's a 90s kind of man. He's so nice and gentle. He's so tamed and timid. He's the kind that we want to be with us because you never know that he's a man until he goes into the men's room. That's the only thing that differentiates him from a woman, is that he goes into the men's room to relieve himself. Other than that, he's just some kind of feminized kind of creature that's just been into the whole system. And I would say that most people today have never really seen a man. Let me give you another quote. Stephen B. Clark made this statement. He was speaking about the feminized man and the masculine male. And I'm quoting, "Compared to men who have not been feminized," and I would say that's one like me, "he," that is the feminized male, "will place a much higher emphasis and attention on how he feels and how other people feel." Let me stop right here. That's not the whole quote. So, in other words, this man places the emphasis on, well, I can't do this because they may feel bad. Clark goes on and says he will place a much higher emphasis and attention on how he feels and how other people feel. He will be much more gentle and handle situations in a very soft way. He will be much more subject to the approval of the group, especially emotionally expressed approval. He will sometimes tend to relate by preference to women and other feminized or effeminate men, and he will sometimes have a difficult time with an all-male group, quote unquote. Now, I'm not saying that at times we men are not feminized men, because we must be. If you go to another outside group and everybody is acting a fool and everything, you don't have to play up to it, but if they ask you to blast it, and if you know that blasting it, you never work again, and it would keep your mouth shut. It takes a man to know when to speak up. We spoke about that earlier. But a feminized male is one that's just, I mean, you know, when the homosexuals come in with their agenda, well, you know, brother, I don't agree with your lifestyle, but you have just as much right to have a life as I do. When they come in and when they want to, you know, come in and be around you and come and teach your children in the classroom and stuff like that, you become that feminized male when you say, well, everybody else is going along with it, so I'm going along with it, so I can't even let my opinion be known. Then you're a feminized male. I didn't say that you're effeminate. You are a feminized male. That is what this society is trying to do to men. They're trying to push you into a corner, and so you won't even make a logical decision on your own. That is not the kind of men that God is pleased with at all. So we would admit that we are living in a day, an age, to where these characteristics abound in the lives of men and even in our community, even in our Christian community. That is why you find pastors and people in leadership positions weak and vacillating from one position to the next because they become that feminized kind of man. And I'm not talking about homosexuality. This has nothing to do with wanting another man. It has to do with the way the man thinks and the man does his life as he lives in a man and a lady world. There are males and females, and men, I'm talking to you because you need to learn how to respond to a man the way a man should respond to a man and not to respond like a feminized male. So the question is, how does a boy become a man? That's what we're dealing with. How do we get out of this boy mentality into the man mentality? Well, in my studies this week, from reading from a particular text, I gained some important insight concerning this subject, and we're going to take you to some passage of scriptures that can help you idealize in this area. Number one in your outline, and you have it there right before you, and it says it right there, I believe it says, how to break away. Well, it says the passage, first of all, man has to take some passage, and it's the passage from mothers to fathers. That's what we're going to talk about. Boys remain boys because they remain in a mommy mentality. So I've got to get you guys through a passage here. We're going to take you this morning from the mothers to the fathers. Tonight in the lecture, we're going to take you from the fathers to the mentor. Thursday night of the men's studies, from the mentor to the master. So all this week, for all you men, we are teaching you how to be a man. You do not come out to the studies. I'm not going to repeat this. I'm taking you on a journey. I'm going to give you the way, and it's going to work. And you'll never have this dilemma again. Now, I've given you the times we're going to meet. I'm not going to talk about it again. If I don't see you, go ahead with your bad selves, brother. There is a very natural tendency during childhood for a boy to identify with his mother. It is natural for a boy to identify with his mother. I was thinking about a lady that I met. She was coming to church with her, you know, with these two young men. I don't see a man coming in with those boys. They have to identify with their mother. It's a very natural tendency. I'm not trying to say don't identify. I'm trying to say that that becomes a danger when it's time for you to move on. This is good. And remember, this is very normal. Why is it normal? Because a nurturing process is developed during this time. Nurturing is developed between the mother and the son, especially if there's no father there. Emotional stability is secured while this takes place. It is natural for a boy to bond with his mother. It is very natural. As a matter of fact, I thank God for mothers that have raised their sons because there has not been a man. Somebody needs to say amen to that. These women spend all their lives raising these boys, raising them, struggling with them. And where's daddy? He's out somewhere looking for another woman to go to bed with, to make some more illegitimacy. Totally irresponsible. Let's stop ragging on the women. I'm looking at these boys out here making babies and they're not taking responsibility for that kind of behavior. And then when the mama got to raise these babies in the project, no income, can't hardly make life work, she's going crazy, and the boy's getting in trouble and bring them to church. And guess what? The church is supposed to be building male mentors to take these boys with no fathers and be substitution daddies for these irresponsible bums that won't take care of their seed floating down the rivers. The young years, my friend, the young years. That's where the male sees the benefit and the worth of the female when he is in a healthy environment. So it's good for him to be raised by that female, especially if that's all he has. It's good for him to see a healthy Christian female woman struggle with life to bring up that male as a boy. This becomes a time to differentiate, while he's with his mother, between the sexes, and rightly so. When that boy is raised by that woman, he can differentiate what a female is. But you know what the problem is? He don't see what a male is. He doesn't see what a male is. He doesn't know how to be a man. He doesn't know how to be challenged. He doesn't know how to be put to the quick. He doesn't know when to stop. That's why when he goes further with his gang mentality and his hatred and everything, there's been no man to embrace him, to put a cap on all of that energy. So he moves on from a boy to a so-called man and is out of his mind. At a particular point in that growth and development, this bond between mother must be severed. It must be cut off. There's a point in the boy's life where he has to say, I can't deal with mother anymore. I've got to find out what I'm all about. But how am I going to do it? That's what we're going to discuss today. Why? Because his emotional bond becomes dangerous then. He has this emotional bond with his mother. Now that becomes a dangerous thing. Because that blocks his path to manhood. It is being hampered and pampered. You know it, ladies, because that's what you do. You pamper the little boy. Oh, don't mess with my boy. Oh, no, boy, you can't go to the park. You may fall down and hurt yourself. He's supposed to fall down and hurt himself. He's supposed to come home all dirty and stinky and messed up. He's supposed to do things that little boys do. He's supposed to experiment in his world. But when protected by mother, especially in a gang mentality frame of reference, the boy's not even allowed to leave the home. Who does he see bathing? He sees mother bathing. What does he see mother putting on? Powder and lotion, being sweet. What is he going to do when he bathes? Has he ever bathed with a man? Does he know what the difference is? Not if he doesn't have a male in the home. He cannot go into that gradual process from boyhood to manhood. So not only is his masculinity being hampered and pampered, but it's being hindered through gender abuse. It's called gender abuse. When a woman says, I know how to raise a male. Whenever you see that spoiled male that's out of his mind, you can't talk to, running, having temper tantrums, going off. That is a feminized male. That man is going to have problems for the rest of his life when he grows up, because when he meets a man like me, he's going to think that I'm a freak of his imagination. I'm a man. I've come to completion. I'm not like that. And a real man will be like that. But some kind of a wishy-washy, weak, well, I haven't made up my mind yet, he's going to have problems for the rest of his life. So, I have another quote for you, a quote by Gordon Dalby. This is what Gordon says. He says, given the biological and emotional intensity of the mother-son bond, only someone's intrinsic identification with a boy exceeds that of a mother that can fray him aside into individuality and manhood. Then he goes on and says, clearly, only the father meets such a requirement. In other words, what Gordon is saying, when you look at the emotional tie between mother and son, it's going to take another man to help that boy become one, because a mother is hindering the growth. And she's doing it unconsciously. She cannot help to hinder it. She is not a male. And so the boy that's growing into a man is in a quandary, because he says, well, I can't act like John. He's too rough. I even hear mama talking about him. Of course. Gordon is saying that a father is important in breaking this bond because the mother and the son are so closely tied together, it's going to take a man. Now, in our society, you better face it, there are not many fathers in the home. But there's a lot of fathers in this church. And we're going to develop, within a few weeks, a male mentoring program. We're going to mentor these males here. And it is going to take some active involvement in these boys' lives. And it can only be done through spiritual people that know exactly what they're doing. So track with your pastor. Track with me. If this does not take place, matter of fact, one has said, lacking this transition, a man will overtly identify with mom throughout the course of his life, and in that process, wound his masculine soul. In other words, if you continue to identify with your mothers, with females, your masculine soul will be wounded. Especially when you meet a man like me or a masculine man. He isn't going to think that you're homosexual. He's going to say there's something wrong with your mind. Your mind hasn't come to fruition. Let me give you an illustration. 2020 is a television show. Most of us know about that. One came on, I think, in 1965, and it was called The Single and Still Living with Mom. In this commentary on television, it says that one-third of all single men, get this, one-third of all single men from 25 to 35 are still living at home with their mothers. One-third of all the single men in this country between the ages of 25 and 35 are home with mama. Let me tell you something, that's a tremendous problem. You have one-third of the men in this country that cannot break away. Ladies, when you marry him, you're going to have a what boy? A mama's boy. That's all he knows is mama. Now, if that is a national statistic, we are in trouble. Oh, I'm going to ask you now, how many of you men are still living with your moms? Raise your hand. Okay, come on, don't be afraid. Raise your hand, men that are still living with your mama. You see, we don't want to, we don't even want to say, oh man, wait a minute, I don't like that. That's all right, you're going to leave here and go home to somebody's house. Oh, you may not raise your hand in this room, but you know if you're, look, you may be living with your wife, but still living with your mom, amen? Your mom's influence and jumped her front door and busted in yours. Or you can chuck and jive all you want to. I know who you're living with. Uh-huh. No, brother, I live by myself. Right. I walked in the man's bedroom and he said, excuse the bedroom. I said, for what? He said, well, it's messed up. I said, it's supposed to be. That's the way you want your bedroom to look. It's supposed to be messed up. Excuse your bedroom. What are you, huh? Well, my drawers laying around. So what? You want your drawers laying around? Let them lay around here. It's your room. Your house, right? You grown? Yeah. Well, forget it. And let's sit down and read a book. Leave the drawers there. Don't do nothing to me. But when you're a feminized man, what you going to do? Oh, I've got to clean up. Pastor John's coming by. What's the problem? And some of you, when you come by my house and see it all tore up, you know I'm a man because I ain't cleaning up nothing. I just say, push it aside and sit down wherever you can. And then I look at your face to see how you're going to deal with the tension. Well, your house is supposed to be clean. Not really. Not really, not at all. All right. Now, we just don't want to grow up. I'll tell you why we just don't want to grow up. We just don't want to grow up because, listen, the moms cook your meals, the mom wash your clothes, you in a Peter Pan syndrome. Y'all ever see that movie about Peter Pan? Peter Pan's problem was that, you know, that fool didn't want to grow up. Peter Pan's a grown person flying around with these children. Didn't want to grow up. That's the way some men are. Grown men flying around, trying to be young. See? So, you know, hey, yeah, light on the feet. Oh, yeah, man. No, you got the Peter Pan syndrome. Come on, we're going to get out of there. Now, let's look at this. Wait, before I get into that, let me give you an illustration. Let me give you an illustration from the African-American culture. I watched a series on television a number of years ago about African tribes people. And there was this tribe out in the middle of Africa somewhere, I don't know where it was, and Lucy and I watched it and we found it very interesting. Because when the boy in the African tribe got to be a certain age, and the boy was reared by his mother, the boy came up with his mother, you know, the African little boy, I mean, the mother would cook, the little boy was there, and, you know, with the little girls and everything. But when the boy became 12 years old, unannounced to the boy, all of the men in the tribe would go and get this boy when he turned 12 and pull him away from his mother. They showed it on film, and you can see this little African-American boy screaming, pulling him away from the mother. Ah! And mama was there crying. And, ah! I mean, man, this was an emotional thing that took place. When they pulled this young male away from the mother, what they did is they took him and put him in this little hut with all the men. And the men were all there and they were, you know, clanly naked. They stripped the boy naked. And then what they did is they took the boy and they circumcised him and put some things in his ear. I mean, with no pain killers, the boy was screaming. And then they got this stuff and rubbed it all over the boy's body. And they rubbed him down. And then they took the boy for 2 weeks in the woods. And when the boy came back, he was dressed like the men in the tribe, had his little spear. Mama came to him and he said, "Ugh!" I said, "Look at this!" The boy said, "Ugh!" And mama went through that, my baby. In African, of course, you know. And the boy went, "Ugh! My baby. Now, brothers and sisters, if that illustration don't work, nothing will.